Hey guys, thank you so much for letting me share with you again today. I want to bring a message to you. This is the next part of our series that we're doing on the priesthood and the priesthood of all believers. And today we're going to talk about the priesthood and agape leadership. And we just want to encourage you today and I'm praying for you, God is for you. He's with you. And so I want to remind you about what a priest is. And from the Old Testament, we talked about a few weeks ago the things that a priest did in Scripture and who a priest was. A priest was set apart for God. They had a zeal for God. They gave guidance to people who needed guidance. They pronounced blessing. They ruled over disputes and quarantined on occasion, you know, to help prevent sickness. They pronounced healing and offered medical treatments on occasion. They received offerings. They provided sacrifices. They governed the holy things of God. They went out to battle before the people. They carried the ark of God's holy presence. They worshiped. You know, they led others in worship. They were a sign of comfort and the peace of God, the shalom of God. They inquired of God for people, helped people find solutions when they needed to hear from God. They anointed God's servants with oil, commissioning them to go out and serve. They consecrated the temple and kept the temple holy and from being desecrated. They taught the word of God and they were a people of prayer. You know, they were called to cultivate a reverence for God. And those are the things that a priest does. And so important, the priestly ministry. And we have been looking at the priesthood of all believers, how every believer is called, you know, to minister as priest. And so that's very important. Specifically, they were set apart leaders who went to God on behalf of the people. And that's what a priest did. More generally, they were representatives in the world and the people's representative to God. They were mediators, and a mediator is one who reconciles or brings together. And that's what priests did. They brought God and people together. And that's when we think about Jesus, our great high priest. He gave his life so that we could be reconciled. He was a mediator between God and humanity. And he gave his very life. He died on the cross to save us, to give his life in place of ours, to give us his righteousness in place of our sin. And so Jesus was the great mediator. He was the great high priest who brought us close to God, who through whom our relationship with the Father can be reconciled. And so we praise God for that, and we praise Jesus for that. You know, each of us as believers are called to be priests. You know, the priesthood of all believers, we've been reading that over the past few weeks. We're called to be servant leaders. You know, priests are servant leaders, and we're called to be filled with the agape love of God. And so I want to read to you about Jesus' heart from John chapter 13, verses 12 through 15. This is Jesus' heart, God in the flesh. This is what Jesus is like. And this is what it says. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." And I think about, wow, you know, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. God washed the feet of his disciples. And so that challenges me that as priests, we should be servants. If Jesus served, how much more should we serve? And he served with that agape love. That's who Jesus is. Now, C.S. Lewis tells us that there are four Greek words for love. And the one that's used most often in Christianity, the Christian word for love, is agape. And agape is that self-giving, sacrificial love. It's such a powerful love. It's the love that Jesus showed us on the cross, how he gave his life, how he laid his life down for us on the cross. That's agape love. giving yourself away is agape love. It's incredible, you know, what God has done and how Jesus has displayed God's nature. As the Son of God, He's the image of the invisible God, and He's come to make God known, and He says that God is love. And so 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what agape love is. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so love is so important. And this morning, I just want to share with you this concept of the priesthood and agape leadership. You know, if you want to be a priest like Jesus, we need His love. We need to be filled with His love and His compassion. We need the love of Jesus in our hearts. It's so important if we're going to minister. You know, we've been trying to equip everyone to minister, everyone to be priest, everyone to serve those around them and to minister to those around them. We've talked about the priesthood in the Bible, the priesthood in prayer, and today we're talking today about the priesthood and servant leadership filled with agape love. And it's so important. We need that to be the kind of priest that Jesus has called us to be. And so Revelation 5:10 talks about a kingdom of priests for our God. You know, we are a kingdom of priests for our God. You know, you might be saying right now, in the midst of all that's been going on, you might be saying, hey, I didn't sign up for this. You know, I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a priest. I'm not into that whole thing. I didn't sign up for that. But I want to challenge you. God needs you now to be full of love, willing to serve, willing to be a priest for Him, a minister, a servant for Him. You know, I didn't sign up to be a teacher. I didn't sign up to do homeschooling, but I'm doing it right now. You know, I didn't sign up to be a cook or a barber, but boy, I'm going at it. And there's a lot of things we didn't sign up for, but we're equipped to do it through God's grace and mercy. And so you can minister to your family. You can be a blessing to those around you. You can help your friends that you're with right now, your family. You can touch people, you know, all around you. While we're not together, we're still meeting in small groups of families and families and the people that you're interacting with at work, or the people you're interacting with in your neighborhood. You can still minister. You can still be a priest. You know, you can serve God. You know, we're shifting here at Hope Springs from a feeding posture to an equipping posture during this time of quarantine. And we really believe that that's a way that we can continue to be effective as a church, as each one of us are serving in our own spheres of influence throughout this region and throughout this land. You know, Ephesians 4:11-12 says this: now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip, God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. You know, we want to do that. We want to equip you to do the work of the ministry and to build up those people that are around you. You know, my friend Bob Tuttle said, the church is not a building or an institution, but a ministry of love. And so that's what we're talking about this morning, agape leadership, you know, servant leadership, laying your life down for the sake of others. And so the church is not a building, you know, the church is not an institution, but it's a ministry of love. It's those who've given their lives to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to follow you. Now take my life and use it as a ministry of love. And that's who the church is. So we want to be the church, continue to be the church. We're not meeting at church, at a church building, but we're still the church. The church can't be stopped. The church is unstoppable. You know, God is moving through his people right now, all through the world. And I want to challenge you as a leader to embrace servant agape leadership for those in your care right now, for those within reach. You know, I love what Oswald Chambers says. He said this, the Son of God is characterized by self-expenditure. The Son of God is characterized by self-expenditure. And that just means that Jesus was constantly giving himself away, for others, constantly serving, constantly giving of himself. I can't believe that on the cross, while he's dying there on the cross, that Jesus would take the time to reach out to the person next to him, the thief on the cross, and lead him to salvation and lead him to faith. Can you imagine the worst day of Jesus's life and he's still giving of himself? If there were ever a moment for him to just take time for himself, there hanging on the cross, he didn't even do it then, but he gave. He gave right there on the cross, reaching out to save someone, to lead someone to the saving knowledge of the truth. And Jesus said to that thief on the cross who made his pronouncement of faith, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, that's the kind of God that we serve, and that's what leadership is in the church. And so we want to equip you. We want to go from a feeding posture to an equipping posture, and we want to equip you to be a leader. And to be a leader in God's church, we have to be filled with love. And that love will lead us to serving, to service. And so I want to read to you what I've called over the years the leadership psalm. And it's Psalm 15, and it just captures this whole idea of what leadership really is. And leadership is really a call to serve. It's an equipping to serve. And so Psalm 15, let it minister to you. I feel like this psalm is all about leadership for me. It's what the essence of leadership. Psalm 15, I'll read it to you. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what's right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will stand forever, will stand firm forever. You know, and so it's a call to a life, to live for holiness, to a life that's called to do what's right, a life that speaks the truth from a sincere heart. You know, it's a life that refuses to gossip or to harm others or to speak evil of friends. It's a call, it's a leadership call to honor those who are following the Lord. It's a leadership call to keep promises even when it hurts. It's a call to be generous, a call to be honest. And so that's leadership, and that's agape love, and that's the servant leadership that we see in Jesus. And he's so good, and I want to challenge you. God is using you. You are a leader. And God is using you right now. And just walk in these ways of love and service, and God will use you mightily. You know, there's a portion of scripture that I want to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 1 through 4. And it says this, "And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor." Amen. That's who God is. And God is calling you to lead by example. You know, this priesthood and servant leadership is all about leading by example. And you can preach a sermon by the way you live your life in front of your family and your friends. You can preach a sermon. You know, people say a picture's worth a thousand words, and you can preach a sermon by the way that you interact with the people around you as you walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, that is leadership, and God will shine through you. The greatest example of leadership ever is the Son of God hanging on a cross, dying for the sins of humanity, giving his life, laying his life down. That's a leader. Jesus is an incredible leader, and I want to invite you to receive him today. If you'd like to receive him as the Lord of your life and as your Savior, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I want to receive you as my Savior. Lord, I pray you'd forgive me of my sins. I pray you'd wash my sins away. Lord, I pray that you would come into my life and into my heart. I give you the rest of my life, Lord. I want to follow you. I ask you to come and lead me. Fill me with your Spirit. Draw me close to you, Lord. I repent of my sins and I ask for your forgiveness, and I pray that you would save me, Lord. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, you've been born again. I want to challenge you, if you prayed that prayer, start in the book of John in the New Testament and read it. Read it once, read it again. God will minister to you. And we're praying for you. God is for you. Tell another believer. If you made that decision today, let another believer know so they can pray for you and lift you up. And so I want to pray for the rest of us this morning in closing. The rest of us who've already made a commitment to Christ, that God would come and give us a desire to minister, that God would come and give us a desire to be the priesthood, a royal priesthood unto God, the priesthood of all believers, that God would use us. And so let's pray this morning that God would cultivate in our hearts this agape love, that God would fill us with this agape love, and that God would use us in this time. Lord, we praise you and we love you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and give us the gift of leadership. We pray that you would cultivate in our hearts an attitude of service, that you would fill our hearts with agape love. We pray for a fresh baptism of love to fill us. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to lead well in this time. We praise you, God. We pray for all those who are struggling right now that you would minister to them, all those who are sick that you would heal them. And we pray that you'd move in power in our community, in our church family, and in our homes. And we love you, God. We thank you for the cross and the resurrection. We worship you today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. God bless you. He loves you and he's for you. Take care.